Let me ask you, if you would, then turn your Bible to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 12. Jeremiah, chapter 12. And we're going to busy ourselves in this chapter. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
If you're not there, stop wherever you are and just look real intelligent. Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 1. This is from the New International Version. Jeremiah speaking to God. You are always righteous, O Lord, when I bring a case before you. Yet I would speak with you about your justice. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why do all of the faithless, that is people with no faith, why do all of the faithless live at ease? You have planted them and they have taken root. They grow and bear fruit. You are always on their lips, but far from their hearts. Yet you know me, O Lord. You see me and test my thoughts about you. Drag them off like sheep to the butcher. Set them apart for the day of slaughter. How long will the land be parched and the grass in every field be withered? Because those who live in it are wicked. The animals and the birds perished. Moreover, the people are saying, he will not see what happens to us. Verse 5, God answers Jeremiah. If you have raced with men on foot and they have worn you out, how can you compete with horses? Understand that at this writing, Jeremiah is a very discouraged man. God had called Jeremiah to preach. God told Jeremiah, you're going to be my spokesman. I want you to go out and I want you to preach to the people. God further told Jeremiah, Jeremiah, I'm going to give you the sermon. I'm going to tell you exactly what you're to say to them. And then God tells Jeremiah that when you go out and when you deliver my message, just know this. Nobody is going to listen to you. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine being given that job? Here's what you're going to do. You're going to be my spokesman. I'm going to tell you what you're to say to the people, and nobody out there is going to listen to you. Can you imagine that? So as a young man, Jeremiah does exactly what God instructs him to do. He preaches to the people, and for his complete obedience to God, the only thing that Jeremiah gets is rejected and abused. So when we come to Jeremiah chapter 12, Jeremiah's had it up to here. And Jeremiah says, look, I just can't take this anymore. I'm done with this. So in Jeremiah chapter 12, stay with me, in verses 1 through 4, Jeremiah does something that you've wanted to do at some point in your life. Jeremiah begins to fuss at God. And Jeremiah tells God, you know what, God? When I talk to you, you listen. You're really good at listening to me. But God, you haven't done me right. I mean, look out into the world. God, why is it that all of the wicked prosper? And God, can you explain to me why it is that people who don't care anything about you have it all? Jeremiah's not done. Jeremiah then directs attention to himself with God. And Jeremiah says, now look, God, look at me. God, you know me. You know my heart. You have tested my heart. And I've gone out and I've done exactly what you have asked me to do. And the only thing I have received from listening to you is that I've been made a laughingstock in this whole nation. Now, I don't know about you, but I can relate to every word that Jeremiah said right there. Amen. You see, there comes times in every Christian's life. There comes a time in every Christian's life where it seems like that God is a million miles away. And there comes a time in every one of our lives when we just don't understand why what's happening around us is happening. And there comes a time when we look at our own life, we look at our own circumstances, and we're frustrated to death by what we're going through. So Jeremiah has his say. Are you listening? Listen to me. There's nothing wrong with you feeling that way from time to time. I said there's nothing wrong with you feeling that way from time to time, as long as when you get done complaining, you're then willing to listen to God respond to you. So beginning in verse 5, God responds to Jeremiah's complaint. And in part of verse 5, God says, Jeremiah, if you have run with the footmen, the men on foot, and if they have wearied you, how can you contend with the horses? If you have run with the footmen, and if the footmen have worn you out, how are you going to contend with the horses? Now, brethren, I want you to understand what God is saying to Jeremiah in that statement. I want you to get this. God is saying to Jeremiah right here, Jeremiah, listen, as far as problems go in your life, what you've been through so far is just the beginning. God is telling Jeremiah, now, son, listen to me. As far as problems and setbacks and tragedies go in your life, so far, all you've experienced is kindergarten. All you've experienced is kindergarten. And Jeremiah, if you're gonna let the little footmen wear you out, then what are you gonna do when things really get tough in life? God is telling Jeremiah, listen, if you are discouraged now, what are you gonna do when life really gets tough? If you are discouraged now, then what are you gonna do when the Babylonian army comes into the nation you love and carries them off into Babylonian captivity? If you're discouraged now, what are you gonna do when the Babylonian army burns down the city of Jerusalem and plummets that temple? What are you gonna do then? If you're allowing the footmen to wear you out, how will you ever contend with the horses? From time to time, every single one of us have to contend with the horses. What I mean by that is that from time to time in our lives, every single one of us have to deal with those overwhelming circumstances in our lives that we feel will break us down. Now, the horses that we contend with, those horses may come in the form of an illness, a sickness, a disease that grabs hold of you and doesn't want to turn you loose. Those horses may come in the form of a death of a loved one. Those horses may come in the form of family trouble. Those horses may come in the form of financial difficulties. But all of us have to deal at times with situations that just overwhelm us, and we wonder, what are we going to do? So let me tell you something about contending with the horses. The horses will never, ever leave you where they find you. And when you have to contend with the horses, and when you have to deal with the real struggles of life, those horses are either going to cause you to rise higher in your spirituality than you've ever been before, or those horses will plunge you deeper into despair than you've ever been. And the determining factor of what they do is you. It's you. So here's the question. Here is the question. How do we contend with the horses? How do we contend with the horses? When those things come into our lives that we never, ever imagined, and they're staring us in the face, how do you contend with the horses? Let me make three observations here. The way that you contend with the horses, the way that you contend with the horses is don't overreact to the footmen. What does that mean? Here's what that means. Don't overreact to little things. Listen, this was basically Jeremiah's problem. In Jeremiah chapter 12, Jeremiah wants to give up. I can't take any more of this. Jeremiah wants to quit. And in reality, in Jeremiah 12, his real problems hadn't even started. By overreacting to the footman, we put ourselves in a position to where we will never be able to contend with the horses. When we overreact to little things in life, we're putting ourselves in a position to where we will never be able to contend with life's big problems. Don't overreact to the footman. Let me illustrate. First day of ninth grade. First day of ninth grade, the three hardest years of my life was ninth grade. Boy, that just shot right over everybody, didn't it? First day of ninth grade, I walk into Algebra 1. And the teacher hands out the textbooks. So I'm sitting in my desk, and I start leafing through this algebra book. This book was filled with letters, not numbers. N, R, X, and I'm sitting there, math isn't letters, math is numbers, amen? Math is 2 plus 2 is 4, and 4 plus 4 is 8, and 8 plus 8 is 16, and 16 plus 16 is quite a few. And I'm like, math isn't letters, math is numbers. So, first day of ninth grade, got myself up out of that algebra class, walked into the office of a man named Nicholas Tavalaris. Mr. Tavalaris was my counselor. He and I knew each other very well. I said, algebra? No. So he put me in this general math class. This math class was so general that right on the textbook, right across the top, it said math. That was the first day, are you listening? That was the first day of ninth grade. To this very day, I know very little about advanced math. You know why? Because I overreacted to Algebra 1 in the ninth grade. Listen. If you allow the little footman of Algebra 1 to weary you, how can you ever contend with the horses of trigonometry? Whatever that is. Now, here is an exact parallel. That illustration is an exact parallel to the lives of many of you right here. And I'm telling you, listen, many of you are suffering needlessly. You're all anxious and worried needlessly. You get yourself sideways needlessly. You say, how? Because every single life has setbacks. Every single life has problems. Every single life, you gotta deal with certain things. But if you allow every little piddling problem to become a big deal to you, you are never gonna be able to experience the abundant life that Jesus promised. Don't overreact to the footmen. Don't make mountains out of molehills. Oh, but I gotta listen, every problem isn't a five-alarm fire. Don't sweat the small stuff. Let me illustrate. Here is a mother, and she's got little ones. We'll say three little ones, but it could be one depending on the little one. When you have little children, your life is full of footmen. Full of footmen. I mean, just think about what it takes to feed them. We put them in high chairs because it's probably against the law to put them in straight jackets. But you pick them up, little darling child, you pick them up and you want to sit them in the high chair, and what do? They stiffen up. You're trying to get, come on, sit down. And he isn't sitting down. And you got two more after this one. Sit down. Sorry, you're stubborn as your mother. Sit down. Did I say that loud? Sit down. The child sits down. You grab the tray, slam it in there. You got him. Amen. Thank you. You got him. So he's going to eat. He puts the food everywhere but in his mouth. He puts the food on top of his head. He puts it in his ear. He sticks it up his nose. The food goes everywhere. They're throwing food. And listen, after every meal, you have to sandblast the kitchen. Are you listening? So the mother deals with this, and the mother says, look, I can't take any more. No, I can't take any more. And I'm thinking to myself, my no, because one day those little footmen are going to grow up to become teenagers. Now, here's the parallel in our lives. Here's the parallel. One of the best ways in the world to deal with big problems is to have a good attitude toward the little problems. Listen, don't overreact to the footmen. Don't make a big deal out of something that isn't a big deal. Now, occasionally, we're going to have to contend with the horses, and the horses are going to come. But listen, every problem isn't a man on a horse. Some of them are just footmen. Don't make a mountain out of a molehill. Amen. Years ago, I can tell this because it's been that long. I finished preaching, and I went right back there. And a woman came out at the door. She said, come here. So we went back into my office. Now, if you've never been back there, you go into one office, you turn left, you go into another one. They want me way away from everybody. So I go back there, and she is sideways. She says, I am divorcing my husband. I so didn't want to ask this, and I had to. I said, well, why are you divorcing your husband? And this is exactly what she said. She looked at me and she said, because my husband went out and bought a chainsaw. Now, you've done this, where people say something to you, you heard what they said, you know what they said, but what they said is so bizarre that you want to hear it again. So I said, now, tell me again, what did he do? He went out and bought a chainsaw. So now all kind of stuff's going through my head. I mean, you know, is he going through the house sawing off legs of the furniture? What is he doing? And here was the whole deal. Here's the whole deal. She had ordered him not to buy it. Sisters, look at me. I love you. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. There's other ways about that. There are other ways about that. Now, here's what I'm saying. Listen, many times in our lives, we do that in our homes. We get this big fuss going in our homes and nobody's talking to each other. And when we get down to it, this big fuss is over something that isn't worth a dime. Amen. Or we're fussing about something and it goes on for so long that nobody remembers what it is. Now, here's what men do. All men do this. And wives, you don't know, but all men do this. You're fussing. You leave the house. And while we're gone, we're thinking to ourselves, well, is the fight over? Are we still fighting? How do I know if we're still fighting? Are we talking to each other yet? Listen, every man deals with it that way. He just goes like, okay, is this over or not? When is this going to be over? Listen, don't overreact to the footman. You hear what I'm telling you? Jeremiah's, oh, I just can't go anymore, God. God, I can't go anymore. And God tells Jeremiah, listen, man, you haven't dealt with anything yet. Don't overreact to the footman. How do you contend with the horses? Don't overreact to the footman. Number two, quickly. How do you contend with the horses? Don't be intimidated when the horses come. Now, I want you to get this. Don't be intimidated by the horses. Now, ultimately, the horses came into Jeremiah's life. Ultimately, the Babylonian army came and carried God's people into captivity. Ultimately, they burned the city of Jerusalem down, and ultimately, they plummeted the temple in the city of Jerusalem. But when the horses came, what Jeremiah found out is that Jeremiah was able to deal with whatever the situation was, regardless of how hard it was. Listen, you and I have much more strength than we think we do. You and I are stronger than we think we are. But here's what we do. Now listen, here's what we do. We think to ourselves, well, if I ever had that problem, and if that certain problem ever happened to me, I just couldn't deal with it. And see, that's the problem. The problem is you allow yourself to be intimidated by the horses. Do you understand what I just said? We say to ourselves, well, if that ever happened to me, I could just never survive, and that's what brings you down. That's what brings you down. So here's what I'm saying. When the horses come into your lives, more than anything else, contending with the horses is a test of your character. Contending with the horses is a test. It will tell you who you really are. And so from that perspective, contending with the horses isn't so much a hindrance as it is an opportunity. If Jeremiah had never contended with the horses, Jeremiah would have never written the book of Lamentation, and we wouldn't have his Lamentations. If Job had never contended with the horses, we'd never have had the book of Job. If Abraham Lincoln had not had to contend with the horses of having no formal education. If David had not had to contend with the horses, we wouldn't have many of his most beloved and most of the Psalms that we quote. Think for a moment and understand this. Listen, most of the greatest things that have ever happened in the history of the world has happened to those who've had to contend with the horses. Look, I so want you to understand this. When the horses come, when those overwhelming struggles come into our life, that doesn't mean that our life is over. What that means is that now we have an opportunity to let our best self shine. And you can do that. You can have the victory if you'll refuse to allow the horses to intimidate you. We've all stood in Jeremiah's shoes. We've all stood there. And we've all said to ourselves, I can't go any further. I'm done. So when it comes, what do I need to understand? Look, don't overreact to little things. Don't sweat the small stuff. When the horses eventually come, and they will, don't be intimidated by them. How do you contend with the horses? Don't overreact to the footmen. Don't be intimidated by the horses. Finally, number three, how do I contend with the horses? Here it is. Do the best you can and leave the rest to God. Do the best you can and leave the rest to God. Let me explain something very important to you about God. God never intended for Jeremiah to be another Elijah. All God wanted Jeremiah to be was the best Jeremiah he could be. Do the best you can, and let me pick up the rest of this. Brethren, in every age of time of dealing with men, the only thing that God has ever asked us is do what you can and let me take up the slack. God never intended the prophet Daniel to be Ezekiel. God just wanted Daniel to be the best Daniel he could be and depend on him. God didn't want Malachi to be Isaiah. God wanted Malachi to be the best Malachi he could be and depend on him. And here's what I'm telling you. God doesn't expect you to be somebody else. God doesn't expect you to do what you can't do. What God expects of you and me and everybody else, that we obey Him. We obey Him. We do the best that we can do, and then we put our faith in God to pick up the rest and carry it wherever it needs to go. And I'll tell you this. If you will do that, if you will do that, then one day you're gonna say what Jeremiah said. I dealt with the footmen. They wearied me, but I didn't give up. And when the horses came, I was able to contend with the horses. But everything I'm talking about, the only way you can have this is to have a right relationship with God. If you think you're going to deal with life on your own successful, you're wrong. You're wrong. But if you're going to contend with the horses, it depends on your relationship with God. I can't imagine how people live without God. When the daily struggles come, and then those times when they have to contend with the overwhelming problems of life, where do they turn? To a bottle, to a needle, to some other form of addiction? How to contend with the horses? Don't overreact to little things. When the horses come, don't be intimidated. Just God's got this. And when they come, do the best you can do and leave the rest to God. Because I'm telling you, because the Bible teaches it, and I'm telling you from life experience, God will never walk you out on a branch and saw it off behind you. He's with you. The question is, are you with Him? This morning, if you've allowed yourself to drift away from God because of what you're going through, you're headed in the wrong direction. There's only one way to contend with life's overwhelming struggles. You have to take God by the hand. Do what you can do, and God will pick you up and carry you through the rest. If you need to respond, come right now as together we stand and as we sing.